it's a girl, Mommy Dearest.
Hi, I'm Kai, aka Adi.
And welcome to Thought Digest, where we
amplify conversations
one thought at a time.
We're really on this consistency wagon.
Every Monday, 3 yes. o'clock.
Yes, and this is our last episode for the month of February. Yes. We promised you guys that every last Monday of every month, we will be going live. And the platform where we will be going live will be announced on that day.
Yes, so on the live
sure,
day.
Make sure that you're subscribed. Make sure that you follow us on TikTok. Make sure you follow us on Instagram as well. Because you don't know, maybe all three at once, maybe one at a time. You never know. Just stay caught up.
Stay caught up, yeah. Okay, which platform do you think we should go live on though?
I think they should take turns just to make sure that both platforms are consistently active. Even though I know it would be so much. I think TikTok makes the most sense because then people can join, multiple people can join, and comments are easier to read that way. But we'll see. Vote down in the comment section below which platform are we going live on first. Which one gets preference?
So. What's up? Oh, life update.
Yeah.
I did my makeup today. I'm actually in love with my makeup
today. That's your life update?
Let me cook.
You always do your makeup so beautifully. I don't understand why.
No, today it just seems more flawless. And you know why? I feel like because of the skincare thingy that we did.
Yes.
That appointment where we went and saw an esthetician,
Yes.
My skin has been so good. And then I put primer and everything. So the makeup is sitting so.
It's stuck. It's glued.
It's sitting with perfection on
That's your
face.
Life update.
Yeah. And then another thing
I like
is
the color black on you. This is not black though. This is dark brown, eh?
It is
a dark brown.
It's not a black.
No, it's not jet black.
Oh.
But it looks lovely on you.
Yeah.
You know what other color I love on you? It was like an orangish.
Yes, oranges, that kind of.
I love that on you. It brings out your skin tone so beautifully.
One of my favorite colors on my hair now as well.
Yeah.
So I also installed my wig myself for the first time.
Not for the first time. Why are you capping?
Well, for the first time, I'm doing it well. Like
you
recently,
installed it well last week. You installed it well when we went on our date.
It's the same. Okay, is it the same install? No, I removed it yesterday. It was too hot. I was like,
yeah, no, this weather. That's why I can't do wigs, guys. I sweat like a pig. So imagine now I have a wig on.
I literally said, nope, I cannot do this. And I removed it. I've been studying. That's
yes,
what I've been doing.
Finally.
So I created a study timetable. And so I've been studying. By the time this video comes out, I would have actually already written my test.
Are you confident right now? Or you still need to build up the confidence?
Day two studying. There's no
day
confidence.
Day two. Yes. You're such a scammer.
3 weeks.
You're a big time scammer. Because last week, you said we can't postpone our date because you want to start studying ASAP.
Yes.
Yesterday was Sunday. Our date was on a Wednesday.
Listen, it's not big time scamming. So what happened was my friend was supposed to come on that Thursday.
So you can't study on your own.
No, she's my study partner. Not necessarily that I can't study on my own.
Just admit to your scammer tendencies.
It's not scamming tendencies. I can show you the chat. She's supposed to come on Thursday.
So?
And then she came on Thursday. She actually did come on Thursday, actually.
Why
didn't we study is because I didn't have study chairs.
You're blaming your inability to study on chairs.
Yes. And also, to be fair, I'm saying I wasn't studying like I wasn't doing anything. I was actively doing something. I was actively creating the timetable, actively fixing up my notes, actively coordinating what I'm going to study, when I'm going
to
study.
Very ridiculous.
No, I don't consider doing that as studying. That's the thing. I don't consider the prep to studying
exactly, it's
as
not.
Studying.
That's what you should have done when you were telling me, oh, we can't postpone our date because I need to study. That's what you should have been doing.
No, I was creating content then.
We didn't study because we didn't have study chairs.
I was creating content. I was creating content. Please, I'm a multitasker here.
Guys, clearly we won't get her to admit that she's wrong. It's fine.
Because I'm not. But it's fine. It's I'm sorry fine. If you feel offended.
Who's offended? Me?
Yes.
You don't be my Max, so don't be my own CASA. I beg, please. Now your own. Okay, later.
Okay, what's your life update?
I'm well into the Kaya takeover. I wasn't posting the whole of January because I was focusing on, batch creating content so I'm able to put out content consistently. And that's where I'm at right now. It has been, I haven't spoken about this actually, but getting the takeover started was incredibly, it was mental weightlifting. Okay. Because we spoke about self-doubt at the end of last year, and me doing the takeover was a point that I was proving, or is a point that I'm proving to myself about my creativity, about my capabilities and all of these things. But actually putting it into practice was so, it made me so anxious. And I realized that, have I spoken about this before? I don't know, but I realized that I'm not afraid of failure. I've always known that
I've said that,
right?
You're going to succeed.
Exactly.
Yes.
So just, it's been so difficult to overcome that fear of success and that fear of being in the limelight. But I know that, you know, it's inevitable with what I'm doing. So it's, the reception has been great. Actually, I'm speaking into existence.
Yes.
But the reception has been great. I've been feeling really fulfilled. I've been feeling really enthusiastic about constantly creating and putting out and creating and putting out and creating and putting out. And I hope that for the rest of the year I can keep going, and that, you know, I'm a giver upper. So hopefully there's nothing that makes me feel the need to give up, even though life is very unpredictable.
It is.
But I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Physically, I'm well.
Mentally. Okay.
Emotionally. Wait, let me answer. I think mentally, in and out, like there are moments where I'm present and then most of the time I'm really not. But that's always been my reality. I don't think I've ever been consistently present. Ever. So that's why I'm like, this is my equilibrium, this is my status quo mentally. Emotionally numb again. Yeah. Wow. Spiritually healthy though.
Yeah.
I am getting back on my spiritual feet in that I've been consistently going to church. Mm-hmm. I've been consistently reading my Bible. I've been consistently just talking to God and just praying and relying on him a lot more than I did last year. So I'm in a very good place spiritually.
Mm. You gave such a great life update. I feel like I should do better.
Because we heard hey.
And faith.
Like,
is that really a life update?
But you did talk about content creation.
So okay, yeah. Like, so yeah, I'm trying to like consistently create content as well. I'm trying not a deep content creation this year. Just put out as I take it. What else is going on? Physically, I've actually started jogging.
Mm-hmm.
So every day I actively wake up at 5:30 a.m. Mm-hmm.
From 5:30
in the morning. That's me every day.
I give a standing ovation.
There is no day of the, right now. I don't have, it's a weekend, I'm not waking up at 5:30. Every day I'm waking up at 5:30 in the morning.
Awake for how many hours of the day?
A lot of hours. So 30 minutes, I actually do a devotion. I sit with God for 30 minutes.
That's good.
Yeah, so for 30 minutes, I'm sitting with God. So I actually don't sit with God 30 minutes in a day. In my morning, I sit with God for 30 minutes. And I'm doing this book by Jackie Hill.
Mm-hmm.
It's called...
Good Girl, Gay Girl, Good God.
Upon Waking.
Oh, Upon Awakening. It's her devotional
series. Yes. So if 30
minutes... Are you reading the PDF?
Yes. So 30 minutes, that's what I do. And then 6 a.m. till 7 a.m., I go on a jog. So I've been actually working on my body. Right now,
I'm so proud of you, man.
The most I've jogged, like the longest distance I've jogged is 4.5 kilometers.
Okay.
So I'm working on it.
What?
Is that short? It's short, né?
No, what?
It feels so short. Like every time I do 4.5 kilometers, I feel like I did nothing. I want to go more. But my body's like, stop. So yeah, I jog for an hour every day, and then after jogging for that hour, I do a 30-minute exercise where I focus on my abdomen and my back. So 30-minute workout, then I eat breakfast. So I've been living on that timetable. Then I study, I come to work, I get back home, and then I actually sit with God in the evenings again. So that's what I've been doing. So spiritually, I feel amazing. Physically, I feel amazing, even though my body is sore. Guys, my legs are sore. My legs are so sore. Mentally,
yeah.
So what I'm actively trying to do is not have any form of noise while I do activities.
Okay, that's good.
So I'm jogging without music.
Okay.
I'm gymming without music. Yeah. Everything without music, without a TikTok, without anything. And purely because I actually realized how much of my thoughts I actually digest during that time. Because, like, yes, I have moments where I'm just like, yo, I just want to reach the end of this hill. I just want to reach the end of this hill. But there's moments at the end of the hill I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have reacted like that to that situation. Oh, maybe I should approach the situation like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really amazing. That's what I've been up to. So I'm not doing a I'm also fasting, intermittent fasting, I think it's called.
Intermittent fasting? I hear that word all the time.
I don't eat anything before 12 a.m., 12 p.m.
Uh-huh.
So from the time I'm awake at 5:30 till 12, I'm
not eating. So that means I've been intermittent fasting my whole life?
Yeah, without knowing. Apparently, that's that. So that's what I'm doing. So, which I've been doing like subconsciously, uh-huh, but now I'm consciously doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So also portion control as well. I've been working on my portion control. So I eat 2 meals a day and my portions are decent. Cooked meals.
2 meals a day.
Yeah. You eat what?
I mean, on work days, I eat. One.
No, that's fair. Because I haven't eaten anything today, actually. So work days is...
On work days, I eat one. Yeah. On a regular day, two. But, like, I'm just saying, for somebody who wakes up at 5:30, you eat 2 meals a day?
Yeah. 2 meals a day.
Please, ne?
But I don't feel hungry. 2 meals a day. Well, I haven't eaten since I woke up today at 5. 2 meals a day, but a lot of water. A lot of water. Maybe my diet will change at some point, but that's what my diet is now. And it's working for me. It's working for me.
But you look good.
Thank you very much.
You look good. And you sound like a lot more confident about your lifestyle.
Yes.
Before you were like,
I don't like what I'm doing.
I don't like my habits. I'm not happy. So exactly. I'm glad that you're actively, you know.
And I want to keep this up for as long as I can. And one thing I noticed, when you wake up at 5:30 in the morning, the days are longer.
Bruh, that's why I don't wake up in the morning.
Are longer. Like, oh, shame. you work on your mental therapy this year. Therapy this year, please, my sister.
Guys, imagine being awake for longer than 10 hours. Mm-hmm. I cannot. There's not that much life to live, I promise you.
I'm telling you.
I don't have that much life to live.
You do. You see what you can accomplish. See what you can accomplish. See what, like, literally by 11 o'clock, I feel like I've done so much already. My
That's the
day
problem.
Feels gone.
That's the problem.
Like, I'm like, oh my God.
When the sun is not even halfway into the sky.
When I check the time, I'm like, it's 12. Like, when I eat, when I finally eat, I'm like, it's 12. I've been at it. I've been doing this, doing that. But because of that, I have early nights. So by 10 o'clock, I'm out. 10 p.m., I'm out. And because I am waking up at 5:30 in the morning, because last year, I felt like I didn't have time to do everything.
Mm.
Funny enough, with this schedule, I have time to do everything. Mm. Like, I'm studying, I'm coming to set, and I'm not behind on my study schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hours I spend here, I'll pick up in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything. I just feel like I have more
to do. I know that lifestyle has so many rewards. Like, I know. There was a time where I was also waking up at a certain time and going to the gym, and, you know, and I did feel extremely productive and my mind was awake for a lot of time. But ideally, I would like to live a life with no alarms. I've worked, my one goal while I was going to school was to never have an alarm. And safe to say that I've achieved my goal, my one goal in this life.
To never have an alarm.
Praise God.
I have to have one. Sadly, because I'm not trying to be like, well, I'm not trying to be comfortable. I'm trying to be rich, you know?
You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, to digest personal content in CASA.
You know what I'm
saying? When I tell you I made my first million at 25, don't blink and be shocked. Don't say, oh my God.
25 is even far, my sister.
It's far. Oh. That's real. If I say I made my first million at 23.
Mm-hmm. That's more like it. I don't think, like, if I have a million, I don't think a lot about my life will change.
nothing would change for me.
Yeah. Like, a million is not that much money.
It isn't. I just, like, I want it to be, like, a consistent, like, my annual income does not go below a mil. Mm. I don't think
annual it would, mil. That's a little.
Yeah, I don't think it, like, I don't want it to go below. It can go above. I don't want it to go below.
Oh, okay.
You know? And I think it's just, it's enough money that I need for my family and I.
Okay.
Yeah. And to be able to go to the mall and say I'm getting Kaya this without, like, it hurting my pocket. Yeah.
That one, I will gladly say amen to. Amen.
Anyway,
it's our girl chat segment.
Yeah, today's girl chat, guys. Today's topics, I wanted them to center more on personal than external when we're talking about love and to interpret love differently.
Mm-hmm.
So our first topic, let me open my files, y'all. Where's my files? There. Girl chat, self-love is a foundation. The importance of self-worth in all relationships. Can I pick this topic?
Did I?
Yes, it's one of the topics you gave us.
My memory is so tragic that I don't know which topics I picked and I didn't pick. Okay? But this is a conversation that has been had so many times.
Yes.
And I think that people have romanticized working on self-love so much that it looks aesthetically pleasing. Really good, nah? That the work that you do to love yourself is often portrayed as a really easy, aesthetically pleasing, cutesy, relaxing process, which couldn't be further from the truth most of the time. Most of the time, it's rigorous, hard work. It's heart work. I always say this, that the relationship with self and the relationship with others is heart work, and it isn't always pretty. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not putting a bath bomb in a bathtub or using a body scrub in the shower, and that's self-love and self-care. Yes, that's what it may look like externally, taking extra care of your physical appearance and your physical well-being, sure, but the real work is internal, and the real work is because you sit there and you look yourself in the mirror. There was a time in my life where I struggled to look myself in the mirror because I didn't want to confront the monster that I had become. I knew that the life that I was living wasn't a reflection of who I wanted to be, of my true character, and it wasn't ideal. It wasn't a representation of myself. I knew that if somebody knew the details of my life, they'd be disgusted. And that's why looking in my reflection was incredibly difficult. That itself is working on self-love, because you need to recognize those things and say, I was a horrible person for this and this. I was, what I said in this instance was vile. My intentions in this moment were not so pure, and so on and so forth. And that's the work that you do to love yourself, is confront yourself, be honest with yourself, and then take it from there.
So our manager, Mbali,
yeah.
So I'm about to ask you, like, personal questions because of this. So Mbali said that we should, this year, our theme for this year is a love letter to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not generalize the experiences and the knowledge that we bring.
Yeah, you're right.
Tell me, where is your self? Where are you right now in your journey of self-love? I know it's you're never going to reach the finish line, but how do you feel about yourself today?
I feel good. I feel, for the very first time in a long time, I'm putting boundaries in place and I'm prioritizing my happiness. For a very long time, I prioritized the happiness of people who depended on me, whether they depended on me financially, whether they depended on me emotionally. Mm-hmm. I put their needs first. And now I'm selfish, but not heartless.
Mm.
If that makes sense. I know what is good for me, and I'm prioritizing what is good for me so I can be good for other people. So I'm in a really good space. I'm really proud of the life that I'm living as well. I'm working my creative muscle like I promised myself I would. I'm believing in myself more than I ever have. I'm no longer, I feel like I returned to self, you know, because I was looking externally. I was looking on the outside for a very long time. For most of last year, I was looking at all these external factors that affected my happiness. I was like, this door closed and it made me feel horrible about myself and my capabilities and my creativity. This opportunity fell through, therefore I'm undeserving, and all of these things. Like, I looked to the external world for validation in my creativity, validation in my beauty, validation in my essence. And now that has completely changed because I spend more time with myself than I've ever spent. A lot of the time last year, I distracted myself. Mm-hmm. I was always on social media. I was always watching a series. Netflix knows me by name, surname, and ID number at this point. But this year, I've really just woosahed, and I love myself. And I think it's apparent in the way that I dress. Mm-hmm. I've been very intentional.
She looks so beautiful.
Thank you, Stavis. Like,
when I saw her, I gasped.
She did. Actively I saw her through the window, and I was gasped. Like, oh, I don't want to go in that room now because she's going to make me shy. But a lot of my clothing choices are, for me, reflect a deep love of self. Like, I don't wear things to prove that I've got a beautiful figure. I've got a beautiful figure. But it's not the point of my dressing. It's not the point of nothing. Like, nothing could make me feel better about myself. Nothing external could make me feel better about myself. I feel so confident, too. I don't know. I'm great. How are you? Sorry.
Yep. No, man. For me, how do I see myself right now? I don't think I've really sat and thought about that, actually.
Okay. Welcome to Tota Just.
Yeah, welcome. I don't think I've really sat and really thought about it. Let me actually think about it. How do I feel about myself? I feel like right now, I'm in a good space. You know, I'm in a really good space. It's not an excellent space. I'm in an amazing space, actually. Because I was about to correlate how I feel about myself with external means. So now when I'm removing the external and I'm dealing with the internal, I think I'm in a good space. Mm-hmm. I think I've matured so much.
Mm-hmm.
I thank the Lord for the wisdom he has given me, the wisdom he has blessed me with.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I think for me, a lot of like how I feel about myself and how I know if I'm okay is through what my tongue says, what I take out, what I speak about, what I, you know, what I say, you know. And a lot, I think I've been speaking so much life into a lot of things. It just shows how much life
it's beautiful
I have in me, you know. I'm trying to see like the positive in a lot of things, the better, like, oh, this is better in a lot of things, the power of holding my tongue, because I feel like I've given so much access, in terms of letting people affect me, that now that I'm trying not to let people affect me, I feel so much better about me. You see, hence why I said I'm no longer going to take content creation seriously. It comes with self, like, love and self-worth for me, because now I'm no longer trying to validate the people on the other side. I'm not trying to make them happy. I'm making myself happy. I'm making it a me thing again. So I feel good. Feel so good. I feel beautiful. Oh my God, I feel so beautiful. I haven't felt beautiful in a long time. Okay, I think I'm gonna cry. Can't cry. I have to keep the makeup on my face.
Oh yes,
because we're taking pictures.
It's okay. I brought my makeup.
Okay, yeah. I feel really beautiful. I feel woosad. You know, yeah. That's how I feel. You know. Now I'm going to ask you a follow-up question.
Okay.
How did you get there?
This is lovely for girl chat, actually. This is so lovely. And this is, I think, we'll also extend the flow to everybody else.
Yeah.
Because this is where we're sharing how we practically moved out of, because we sat here on this couch talking about body dysmorphia and how unattractive and how we don't feel beautiful. And we did share that. And now it's time to tell you how we transitioned out of that. So this is lovely. Thank you.
So beautiful.
First, you made a terrific point about the way that you talk. As a man thinketh, so he is. And so it's the way that you talk to yourself and about yourself, number one, that is going to change a lot. You guys, I think we underestimate the power of words. Words Believe. Formed the world.
That's true.
Do you get what I'm saying? They have creative power. So mm-hmm. I changed the way that I spoke about myself fast, quick, hurry. I was very intentional about it. I looked in the mirror and I affirmed. It was very difficult in the very beginning to say, I am beautiful. I am intelligent. I am mm-hmm. powerful. I am capable. I am worthy. Mm-hmm. It's not easy, especially if you're looking in the mirror and you're confronting yourself in that manner. It's not easy. But that's where it begins, talking to yourself with love, you know? And I watched somebody on YouTube talk about, literally the title of their video was, I'm tired of being fat. And I watched that video. I'm like, this is interesting. Let me watch this video. What is this person saying about themselves? And the way that this person was speaking about themselves in the video was so heartbreaking. You know, she was calling herself names, calling herself all sorts of things. And for me, I was like, this is dangerous because if she's able to do this on camera and post it, mm-hmm. imagine what she's saying to herself off camera. Mm. And it's going to be to her detriment because what she was saying about herself, the negative things that she was saying about herself were to justify why she wanted to be skinny. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So even if she becomes skinny, she's not going to feel any better about herself because she spoke poorly of herself in that moment. Mm-hmm. So she's going to find something wrong about being skinny when she does become skinny, and then it will always be an inward battle. She needs to love herself. And I encourage our Jessies to do that as well. Speak positively to yourself. Mm-hmm. Another thing is boundaries. Learn to say no. My goodness. I said yes when I didn't mean to say yes. I went to places when I knew that my battery was at 20-30%. Then I go home feeling terrible, way more terrible than I did when I left the house. I engaged in conversations that I knew would exhaust me. Mm. I just didn't say no. And I didn't realize that there was people pleasing at the time, because I thought people pleasing was like, you're trying to live for people, mm-hmm. you want their validation, and that wasn't me. The other side of people pleasing, though, is not being able to say no, not having boundaries, not telling people, if you do A, B, and C,
you're going to see me outside.
I'm gone. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? And I didn't do that. Even with, especially with family, especially in my relationship, I did not do that. Mm. I was just like, we'll fight about it when you come back and we'll be fine. Mm. You know? No. The last thing also is dressing in a manner that makes you feel confident. Mm. And that would be appropriate for your body. Everything that isn't appropriate for your body is going to make you feel horrible about your body. I have hip dips, right? So I do have wide hips, but they dip and then they widen again and then it comes back to my legs, right? Which is something that I don't necessarily like because it's not rounded and it's not something that you can really fix. I don't know. I think you can. But
yeah.
Yeah. At the moment, what makes sense for me to wear is not extremely tight dresses, because that's what brings out the things that I don't necessarily like, the details. And so I've you know, gravitated towards silky, loose fitting clothing that makes me feel elegant, that makes me feel confident, because that's what's for my body right now. Maybe that'll change in a few years' time, but I think loving your body also means not being uncomfortable in what you're wearing.
I think it's understanding it.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
Understanding your body is loving your body. I think for me, I share the same sentiments, how I speak about myself. And when you're talking about speaking about yourself, something came to my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's like not being ashamed of my brilliance, not being ashamed of my excellence, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd like to believe I've always been brilliant. I've always been excellent, never not been, mm-hmm. you know. And I experienced a lot of bullying growing up that made me feel negatively and feel bad about standing out.
Mm-hmm.
People gravitating towards me. Mm-hmm. People that matter actually gravitating towards me. Wanting to associate, be in the same rooms as me, feeling comfortable with me. I've always felt bad about that. I always felt ashamed about that. I think if you guys go back to our previous episodes, I explain in more detail, you know. So I've gotten to a point where I think sitting with God. So when I started sitting with God, I understood that being excellent is what he calls you to be.
Mm-hmm.
He does not call you to be mediocre. Mm-hmm. That's why he calls you to excel in what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why there's those parables like gave this one a coin, that one a coin, that one a coin, and they were placed differently based off what they did with those coins, mm-hmm. based off what they did with those gifts. Because the others chose to excel, the others chose to hide them, mm-hmm. you know? And he reacted differently towards that. When he took them out, like those that he decided to hide, he took away their gifts and gave them to somebody, to those that chose to actually exercise and use them. I know, like the word, powerful. The word is very powerful. So it's like trying to sit and be in a place where I'm not ashamed to use my gifts. I'm not ashamed to use my talents. I'm not ashamed to shine as brightly as I can, because that's what I am called to do. I'm not called to be average. Like, remember a church last Sunday, not this mm-hmm. Sunday, last Sunday, the pastor spoke about how the economy is going to have like a very difficult mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. But poverty, guys, poverty is not a Christian thing. God mm-hmm. does not call... Poverty is not a God thing, mm-hmm. you know? So that's not what God wants for you, you know? So I shouldn't want that for myself. I shouldn't want to be less than for myself. I shouldn't want to be mediocre for yeah. myself. And I shouldn't be ashamed that I'm so brilliant yeah. because that is what God has made me, you know? So now I speak that to myself in private. I say that to myself on a daily basis. I'm not scared of my wisdom. I'm not scared of my brilliance. And I am so ready to show the world my talents, to show the world my gifts. Mm-hmm. Guys, I have this beautiful gift that God has given me, and it's, I can read scripture. One thing about me, I think I could stand in the church mm. and give a whole sermon, because he speaks to me and I hear him and I understand him and I hear what he's trying to say when he speaks mm. in his word. And I've always been afraid of that gift mm. because I'm like, oh my God, imagine I'm interpreting it wrong. Imagine I'm saying the wrong thing. I'm like, no, the knowledge is not mine. Mm. The wisdom is not mine. Mm. And it's not, he's not giving it to me so I can hide and sit and dwell with it and everything like that. He's giving it for me to pour, mm. you know? So that's one thing that has helped with my self-confidence. Mm-hmm. Another thing is the boundary thing. Amazing. Setting boundaries, saying no, because you feel worse when you say yes to things you wanted to say no to. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't see yourself in a beautiful light. Like, I did one video that haunts me still even today.
What video there?
I'm not going to say it because now you're going to go look for it and it haunts me still today. I'll tell you privately. That video haunts me
still. Subscribe to memberships.
It wants
to. I'm definitely gonna ask about membership.
And that video stems from me not setting boundaries.
Yeah.
And since I've never put myself in those situations.
Oh, I know which video you're talking about.
Yeah, since I've never put myself in those situations in a very long time, I feel so much better about myself, you know?
Yes, that's so lovely. Like, you're making a great point. Keep cooking.
So, like, yeah, I feel so much better about myself because now I'm just like, I'm not seeing things about myself that I didn't like anymore. It's not being fair to me anymore. Mm. Everything I put out, everything that's out there is something that I'm comfortable with. If I'm not comfortable, I address it as it happens. Mm. Like before, I remember even we were at a YouTube function mm-hmm. and these boys asked me to do an interview for them. Mm. I shy away from interviews because people tend to like cut them however they want and misconstrue them and they do the most. Mm. And before he started the interview, so he asked for the interview, his friend came with his camera and said, kind of insinuating that he's with me, like in a romantic manner. I said, no. My smile died as quickly as it was there.
I love that. And I was like, no. I love that.
Mpo before would have like smiled and then like awkward, then said, yeah. I was like, no, cut the cameras, no. Mm. Mm. And then he apologized and they did it properly, yeah?
I love that.
So setting boundaries, highly important mm. for self-confidence.
Yeah, also you know? Like part of setting boundaries is when you feel like you want to leave.
That's true.
And I'm not just talking about places, I mean also people.
That's true.
Yeah. Because I remember all the times where I stayed at an event when I felt like I wanted to go home. It ended in disaster. Somewhere, somehow, Jay, something happened. You know, every time, trust. Also, part of setting boundaries is also rebuilding the trust that you have in yourself. We've spoken about this. We spoke about this in the first week of Feb. But rebuilding the trust that you have with yourself. If your instinct tells you get out of there, or your instinct tells you don't wear this, or your instinct tells you don't say this, don't trust. And I think part of that is also move slowly. Breathe. Relax. Don't be in a hurry. Think. process. You're not running out of time, because a lot of the times we don't pay attention to our gut because we're not slowing down. Slow down your mind. Don't be in such a hurry all the time. Be intentional about your day as well. I think that a lovely part of starting your day so early is that you start your day in a mindful manner as well. Like, you are very intentional. You get to spend time with your thoughts. You know, I'm going to wear this. I have this event to go to.
This is what I'm doing.
And then this is how I'm going to engage. This is how I want to come off. This is my goal for the day, or whatever the case may be. And then when I feel like I want to leave. I'm not going to engage with this person. Or I am going to engage with that person. And you know, that's also part of boundary setting.
That brings me to my last thing that helps with self-worth, self-love. It's the people around you. Very important. No matter how much love you speak into your life, to yourself, no matter how many boundaries you try to set, if you have people around you that do not contribute or that harm your self-love and your self-worth and everything like that, it's going to all go to waste. You will wake up in the morning and speak love to yourself, and then you go and receive hate from someone else the entire day. You don't leave. You don't set boundaries. You forget all that love and spoke to yourself. Because one thing about life is we stick and we hold on to the negativity more than we hold on to good things. We have to be intentional about holding on to the good stuff, the good words, the great experiences. We have to be very intentional about that. So same way, be intentional about your circle. Be intentional about the people you have around you. If the people you have around you speak love to you, I'm telling you, like, it, guys, there's something about waking up in the morning and you look at yourself and you're like, oh, I'm stunning. And then you go outside and then the people around you are like, wow, you're stunning. Oh, wow, you wise. Oh, wow, you.
And they help you keep that up as well.
Yes, they help you keep that up. People who say that, oh my God, you look beautiful in this. People say, oh my God, you're so brilliant in this. You know, when your circle just feeds into your self-love, it helps. Now, when you have people that all they want to do is like chop, not even chop, like all they want to do is have fun. That's it. They are there to have fun. They're not there to love you. They're not there to feed into you. They're not there to grow you. They're just there for a good time, not a long time.
Let me make an example. Young, famous, and African. Young, African, famous. Guys, that is such a horrible circle.
Yeah.
I watched all 8 episodes within 24 hours, and I'm like, this is ridiculous. I would love to be on the cast. Hey, hit me up in like a year or so when I'm a billionaire. Hit me up. But for now, I'll just watch. Don't worry. But that circle is so detrimental to the work that people do within themselves. And I'll make an example. I'll make an example with Nadia. I didn't expect to fall in love with Nadia and Akai this season, but I really, really did.
I did too.
I was like, she's phenomenal. Like, and the amount of strength it takes for her to maintain character was very obvious to us. You could tell that she's being tried and tested every episode. And this is somebody who was very forthcoming about how much they're going through. And she showed us that it is possible to go through so much and still show up as a good person. Then you have Annie on the other hand.
Somebody who gets me. My mother is team Annie through and through.
And I'm like, wait. Never. Annie was the complete opposite. She too was going through some things, but she spat venom every chance that she got. And that for me, in that circle, and you could tell by, like, I think it was episode 6, that when Nadia was like, I'm sick and tired of you guys busy, you know, enabling Annie or whatever. And when she confronted the entire group, that for me was still within character because of the way that she did it. She didn't curse anybody out. She didn't call anybody out of their name. She put her foot down about the situation and told them what it was, because they were enabling her. Like, she spoke truth, but she spoke it with love, and she spoke it with assertiveness as well. So in that friend group, then you have people like Zari. Goodness gracious. Zari, every chance she gets, she wants to jab at you. She would say, oh, you're always wearing skimpy.
I saw that when you went to Montana.
Hey, what? Like, making the most negative comments.
She does ever go around
and
ready.
Imagine how much work you've done on yourself, and then every now and then you have to be around this group of people who backtrack you, who take you 10 steps back,
who take you out of your character.
One
thing Annie didn't lie about, though, is that Zari will put you out of your character.
Zari, no. Zari, guys, we see the obvious villain of the season was obviously Annie.
Yeah.
Very outright, it was Annie. The villain who posed as a sheep was Zari.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you get confused because Zari is a gorgeous woman.
Yeah.
And she's well articulated and she dresses really beautiful and modestly even. Modestly even. But for me, Zari is evidence that... okay, you can clip this, I guess. Zari is evidence that modesty is a matter of the heart. Because she dresses very modestly. She covers up. She doesn't show that much skin. She even judges Fantana for it.
Yeah.
But Fantana is more modest than Zari.
Yeah.
Her Fantana's heart, ability to control herself. Fantana's heart, the way that she engages with people, her words, even when she's upset, the words that she chooses, she chooses them very carefully. In conflict, she maneuvers the best way that she can. That is modesty, the posture of your heart. And the posture of your heart will eventually, or hopefully, show up in the way that you dress. Zari is a good example of somebody who looks modest, but is far from it.
Yeah, she dresses very beautifully. Very beautifully. But does she have a beautiful heart? That's something to debate
on. Like, Zari went and turned Giffy's issues into her issues.
Into a moment for her to just... She's like, I went through like 11 years of marriage. And why was it so hard for you?
It's not about you, Sissy. You had two seasons. You had two seasons to share this with us before Giffy came. Now because Giffy's here and Giffy's sharing her pain. Like, Giffy literally broke down in front of the group because she's going through so much. Zari saw it as, this is my moment to shine.
This is my opportunity.
Zari, you're beautiful. You have money.
Hey.
Your husband
is handsome.
What are you missing? Anyway, we're diverting. Yeah. We're just making the point of modesty and the circle that you choose.
I guess. Yeah, that's it for like self-love and everything. I think we went into it very deeply and very properly. You guys share your stories about your relationship with self.
Yeah.
How you feeding and pouring into yourself. Mm-hmm. Or if you're struggling, why and how you're struggling.
Yeah.
And guys, I want to put it out there. Your comments are very important in this season of Thought Digest because that's what we unpack on the live. On the live, we go into your comments and we speak about things, you know. So comment what you think, you know.
Even if you don't want to comment on this one, you don't really have something to say for this episode, go back
to the previous episode and give us your two cents.
Yes.
You know, let us know because this is what we will be talking about on the live. We're not going to come and give you back the three episodes on the live. No, we're digesting your comments.
Yes. Let's move into our game.
So then the game is called, wait, what is this game called?
Whose love story is it anyway? So one host describes a famous romantic moment or relationship, either real or fictional, in a way that is intentionally vague, funny, or misleading. The other host has to guess which love story it is.
Yes.
So, for example, this famous couple was known for their drama, red carpets, and some serious breakups, but still stayed in the public eye. The answer there is Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah, give me one. I'm ready.
Okay. The ultimate star-crossed lovers whose relationship had more drama than a reality show. Spoiler, it did not end well. Included poison.
Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. I shouldn't have said that last part with poison.
Because then you're like star-crossed. But it's getting Shakespearean, star-crossed.
Yeah.
But like, it didn't end very beautifully. Let me see. Two star-crossed teens keep singing and about choices while enduring scrutiny of their peers and a wild assortment of zenny extracurriculars.
Is that not High School Musical?
It is.
I've never watched High School Musical. Ever, but I know that that's in the storyline. I've seen enough clips. It's who,
Joy and Gabriella. Yeah, that's the life story, love story.
Okay. Mm-hmm. A couple who fought, made up, and wrote letters, then proved love could last even when memories faded.
Wrote letters.
Let me read it again.
I feel like it's...
I'll give you...
Is it The Notebook? You know what's so crazy? I've never watched The Notebook.
What?
I don't know the plot.
Please watch it.
I don't know the storyline. I don't know anything. But like, you know when you've... Like the same way with High School Musical. When you've heard enough about it, that you can guess it.
The Notebook is such a lovely movie. Go ahead.
Okay, let's see. Okay. Okay. This one is, wait, where is it? In a world where rebellion and romance collide, one couple's love story includes a lot of running while wearing matching outfits.
While wearing matching outfits? In a world of rebellion, matching outfits.
Running, love story.
Matching outfits.
Romance and collides.
Matching outfits. I was about to say The Incredibles, but it doesn't make sense.
No.
I don't know.
It Ooh. Is The Hunger Games.
Yo, I would have never guessed that.
Everdeen and Peter.
I would have never guessed that. That was, when was the last time I watched The Hunger Games?
Same. It's been a very long time, hey? It's been a long time.
Hey, I would have never guessed that. Okay, this one is easy. They've had their fair share of red table talks, but this Hollywood couple still stands strong.
Wait, stop. I know. Entanglement. Will and Jada. Like, I literally forgot their name, but I remember the entanglement.
Yeah.
Will and Jada.
That's it.
That's one love story I will never understand, but it's not for me to understand.
I guess.
Shame, it's not for me to understand. Let me see.
I guess love is love, yo.
That's true. Okay, I'm trying to choose because I have multiple. Okay, let me go. A bunch of people pretend to be couples in front of a camera, but their on-screen chemistry is hilariously questionable. A bunch of people pretend to be couples in front of camera. But they are on-screen chemistry.
Is this reality TV?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
South African reality TV?
No, I don't think it has been done in South Africa yet.
On-screen chemistry is Zibra.
Let me give you a hint. It's possible for one person to date multiple people at the same
Bachelor.
Time.
The Bachelor. What the heck? I didn't see that coming. My last one is he made her a playlist before I. This is too easy, you know. Boring. That's also too easy. Oh, okay. This on again, off again duo mastered the art of the break, and their love was more complicated than their coffee orders at Central Perk.
Break Central Park Coffee. Central Perk.
Yeah, that was the name of the coffee shop.
Yeah. Good man. Who are they?
Ross and Rachel.
Oh, Ross and Rachel. Yeah. Friends. I also have them. Friends.
Okay. That's not how the song goes. So no one told your life was gonna be this way.
Dun, dun, dun.
Your job's a joke, you're broke, your love life's the away. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. What are you thinking?
A love story. Let me think a love story. Okay.
Your week, your month, or even
this
year.
Couple. I'm not trying to choose a couple.
A South African one.
Yeah, South African. Okay, so this couple went through a lot of entanglement.
What?
And the end of their love story brought a lot of drama on the internet. Baby mamas in the mix. A lot of things.
Who's this?
It's a couple. The end of their love story caused a lot of scrutiny. Their journey was not an easy one. A very long journey. There was a little bit...
Rachel and Sia. No.
Who's Rachel and Sia?
Khaleesi.
Khaleesi has a baby mama.
Oh, yeah. You don't got no baby mama.
If he did...
That we know of.
That we know... Real.
Side eye.
Real.
Homer Clark. Sia Khaleesi. Come visit our podcast. Jokey, don't. Baby mama. Casper.
Yeah.
I don't even know Casper, what Casper's wife's name is.
Did you see that video? Okay, no. I don't think we need to talk about that. It's okay.
Casper. Oh, I should have made reference to the more popular couples here in Africa. My bad, guys. Next time, I guess.
Next time we'll bring more. We'll do better next time.
We will. Let's move on to our long topic.
So our long topic is redefining soulmates.
Are we limiting ourselves with the one idea? You go first. I will go first.
Are we limiting ourselves with the idea of one?
Of the one.
Okay, do you think, okay, do you think there's such a thing as a one true love?
No.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why
I've
not?
I've never believed in soulmates, and I don't think I ever will. Just because, one, I'm a philosopher at heart, right? And for me, the concept of soulmates doesn't fully agree with the idea of free will. And allow me to elaborate. The concept of free will is that you are an agent in charge of your own life, and your decisions then create a butterfly effect. But whatever happens is a result of your decision. Mm-hmm. Your will determines your life and the way that it goes, right? That's the foundation of free will. So much larger than that, but the basic, right? The idea of a soulmate, right, was introduced by, is it Plato? Hold on, let me check.
And Mazda Plat.
Yes, Plato. I'm at heart a philosopher, so I know Plato, all of these people, right? Was introduced by Plato in his Symposium. And in the Symposium, he suggested that, well, the idea of soulmates came from he suggested that the idea of soulmates originated from one person being split into two. And therefore, your soulmate is the other half of
your soul.
Exactly.
That's
right?
Crazy.
And those, for me, are conflicting ideas, because the idea of a soulmate suggests that there is one person who was meant for you this whole time, right? That was put in place for you to find or not find. And anybody else that you choose as a result is either your soulmate or not. Does that make sense? So, by virtue of who you are or whatever happened in the beginning, there's one person meant for you. And that, for me, isn't a completely synonymous idea with free will. Because I didn't get to choose. Does that make sense?
I didn't get to choose the one.
Exactly. The overarching idea of free will is that I have a choice. Soulmates are an insinuation that you do not have a choice.
I think maybe it's an idea that we have as human beings to make us hopeful for love. You know, it's an idea of comfort. That, oh, this relationship ended, therefore they were not my soulmate. It's a way to comfort yourself. Mm-hmm. Do I believe in soulmates? I did until I realized that, this was an accident.
Cause what are you talking about?
Because I literally had, like, there was this one relationship where I literally thought that this guy was my soulmate, you know? And okay, that also came from like a lack of knowing God, because I don't think it's a godly concept as well. But then like, I literally thought that this guy was my soulmate, because for me, like it was more than just like what we say, what we do, everything like that. It was just like the way we blended into each other so seamlessly and so perfectly. It made no sense that I could blend like that with somebody else, like that I could find that somewhere else. So I immediately thought he was my soulmate, because like it just made sense, you know. And now I don't think that there's the idea of the one true soulmate exists. Because I think that like the blending in with someone else, the mashing with the chemistry can come in different forms, can come through different things, do different experiences. It can be a friend, can be a sibling, it can be a lover, you know? It comes in different forms. And that just happens to be that maybe the way you guys can relate to your individual experiences and the way that you guys are, you are highly compatible. Doesn't necessarily mean that the person is your one and only. You are just very highly compatible with that person. And in life, you might meet some people that you're more compatible with or less compatible with, or maybe you'll never meet anyone that you're as compatible with as you were with that person. Compatibility is not necessarily positive. You could be compatible in the way you deal with trauma, it's not necessarily very positive. So
you're literally saying everything that's on my mind.
So literally, so like, yeah. So that idea, I scrapped it, man.
I love it. I didn't expect for us to agree. I thought you were going to come here and be lovey-dovey and be like...
less romantic.
David and flipping Jonathan. You know how Christians like to use Jonathan and David as an example for soulmates? Like, soulmates and soul ties, and then they use Ruth and Boaz.
Nah.
And they use Uba Afutilona.
Guys, come on. I think that's a very like narrow, like even, okay, that using those examples, one shows that you actually don't know the Bible like that. Like, to be honest, you should read those
very
stories.
Dangerous statement.
Like you should actually read those stories, actually understand those lives and those people. Mm-hmm. And you should understand that sometimes it's understanding the person, sometimes it's compatibility. It doesn't necessarily mean that you guys were perfect for each other. Because Esther had no choice when she married the king. It was not choice. Mm-hmm. You know, it just happened that he had the heart that was willing to listen. Mm-hmm. And that is thanks to God. Mm-hmm. You know, it has nothing to do with, oh, they were predestined for each other. It's like, Abraham and Sarah, same thing. Things just happen, man. Like, you can see, Jacob, no, Rachel. Is it Jacob and Rachel? Yeah, I think it's Rachel.
Jacob and Rachel.
Is her name Rachel? Starts with an R.
Yeah, Rachel.
I think it's Rachel. Yeah. Jacob and Rachel. You know, like, he worked 14 years for her. Was their relationship perfect? No. Like, and it just shows that it's just like two people who try and...
The idea of soulmates I will always fight it. Because also, I'm also going to consider probability here. What is the probability that out of 10 billion people on planet Earth, your soulmate happens to be somebody in the same vicinity, in the same city, in the same country, out of 10 billion people? Come on. Nah. I think that if I were to accept the idea of soulmates,
mm-hmm.
It would not be that there is one person meant for me, right? Because I think even then, God would have been, if that was a God-ordained thing, God would have been intentional about putting you guys together from the very beginning. And I saw a short film about this, where people are born with matching tattoos. And the moment you find somebody with a matching tattoo, then you know that that's your person. That's just, you know, a euphoric example of what soulmates would look like had they been a God thing. I think it would be painfully obvious who your person is when you meet them, and it's not. So the reality is that you can be compatible with multiple people. You can have chemistry with multiple people. You may gel and have and relate with multiple people. The person who you choose is the one you will cultivate to be perfect for you. That's what I care. That's where I can meet you guys, you soulmate people.
Halfway
and be like, okay, here. I believe your soulmate is cultivated.
Mm.
You make somebody perfect for you. You observe how they love. We spoke about this last week. You observe how somebody loves. Decide if you want to participate. And when you participate, you make them, not make them, but you enable them to be perfect for you.
You allow each other. You work things out. That's a great example for Esther and her king. Yeah. You know, they cultivated. It was not instant. It was not an instant thing. Yeah. They actually cultivated and got to that place, you know. And for me, I don't believe in soulmates as in like this is the person that's romantically for you.
Mm-hmm.
I do, though, think that in life, God places certain people in your life for either for your growth, for whatever reason it may be. But I do believe that there are souls that are meant to meet. Like, there are people that like, oh, this is like... It's not chance. Like, yes, free will is in the play and everything like that, but it's not completely chance. Mm-hmm. Like, when you met this person, whether it be a friend, whether it even be like the family that you're born with, there has to be there's a reason for it, mm-hmm. that you genuinely, these are people that in your journey of life, based off the decisions you made, this is who God could meet you, put you with. Like, you know, our chance meeting. You remember I sent you the cute little video? Guys, don't digest.
And it's a please put it here.
Don't digest was technically spoken into existence.
You get it.
4 years ago.
Actually.
4 years ago, guys.
The editors have put the thumb.
Kaya is the only female I've ever duetted with on like a sit down type of video. I didn't have anyone else. I didn't do that with anyone else.
Oh, actually, same. The idea of the one also. I think is quite restrictive in the sense that, and again, this is just one perspective. There is another perspective that it, you know, it's very freeing to know that you don't have to keep searching. There is the one, if there are people who believe that. But I think it's restrictive in the sense that we confine ourselves to a certain narrative because we believe there is the one. So that makes sense. And so we place so much expectation of on what it feels or looks like to have the one. More than that, when we believe we found the one, we use that as an excuse to tolerate rubbish. You know what I'm saying? Because I think, oh, I'm this person is my person.
You're just very highly compatible.
You know what I'm saying? And then because you believe this so much, you tolerate rubbish from that person. You stay in a relationship you're not meant to stay in. Mm-hmm. You engage in things you're not supposed to engage in. Mm-hmm. Because you truly believe, due to the high compatibility, you truly believe that this is your soulmate. So I think it is very restrictive to even believe that there is the one.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that coin, it may also be dangerous to consider the possibility of many possible soulmates. Does that make sense? Because then you are quick to leave.
Because you think that, like, oh, you're always, there's somebody out there. There's somebody else out there.
You know, So I do think there you can foster a healthy balance, knowing that there are multiple people that you can be or are compatible with. However, the reasons for you leaving a relationship should have some gravity to them. You know, some have some weight to them, not just
because there's more options.
Because there's more options, yeah.
I think that's fair. I think also, like, this idea of, like, one true love, as you said, like, it makes you stay in, like, a relationship where you tolerate rubbish because of, like, this, they feel so right. And it comes back to my point where you can be compatible in toxicity. You can be compatible with the way you deal with trauma or because you have the same trauma. Trauma bonding is a real thing. And you can mistaken trauma bonding as this is my soulmate because you guys can relate on the trauma. You guys can relate on how you negatively and unhealthily deal with your trauma. Like, you can think literally a fellow drug addict is your soulmate because you guys are both high on drugs, you know? And so you can think somebody who's struggling with lust is your soulmate because you struggle with lust as well, you know? So it's a thing of, like, you need to be very intentional and very careful about the relationships you go into. And it brings me to a video that Kespa once did, very wise. I found that to be that take to be very wise. Not everybody you meet, not every woman you meet, this is for guys, watch our channel, not every woman you meet that you are highly compatible with is supposed to be, you're supposed to sleep with them. Not everybody is supposed to be your girlfriend. Some people you just meet them because they are there, like, you meet them because, like, maybe the meeting is for growth on their end or growth on your end. And sometimes you hinder that growth or you don't allow those, you don't allow healthy and good work to happen in those relationships because you quickly go in to lust. Just because you have a great conversation with the person, just because you are highly, like, compatible with the person, does not mean that person is your person, you know? And it brings me to, like, the point of, let love find you, in a sense. Because I feel like the idea of the soulmate makes people go on searching and searching and searching and searching for love. Let love find you.
I love that.
Don't say, hey, we're compatible. This is my soul. No, let love find you.
I love that.
No, and don't restrict yourself with the idea of one. You can find compatibility in friendships, compatibility in family relationships, religious relationships, whatever it may be. Don't go searching.
I love that.
That's something I needed to tell myself. I was literally speaking to myself the whole time. So I was like, God,
guys, half of the time we sit here, we're literally talking to ourselves. Literally. Shouting at ourselves.
Literally, like, actually, maybe this person I'm talking to is just...
I think trauma bonds, another side of trauma bonds, sometimes trauma bonds aren't as obvious as they may seem. Like, for instance, bonding on shared trauma, or because you guys were both addicts, or you were both cheated on, sometimes they're not that obvious. And an example I'll give will probably be eye-opening to many. But one example of a trauma bond is, let's say this person was cheated on in their previous relationship, right? And the person who cheated on them did it so slyly that even if that person was constantly sharing their location, constantly updating them on their whereabouts, being in constant communication with them, they were still able to pull off diamond platinum level cheating,
mm-hmm.
right? And so now this person in a new relationship pays a lot of attention to their new partner mm-hmm. and wants to know where you are, who you're with, will video call you every now and then. That is their response to the trauma mm-hmm. because they feel like they should be involved in every part of your life.
Mm.
Meets a person who was with an avoidant attachment style. And in that relationship, they didn't receive as much attention. Mm. They weren't validated. They were very... that person didn't pay enough attention. Mm. Let me just say pay enough attention to them. I will say that. These two people meet.
Now they think perfect.
Now they think we're perfect for each other because you give me the attention I need. You're always checking up on me. You're always calling me and, you know, trying to find out the details of my life. Then this person thinks you're my soulmate because you cater to my every need in this department, you know? You are happy for me to
yes.
have your live location yes. all the time. You are happy for me to swing by your house unannounced just to see. You are happy for me to ask you on a video call to show me every room in your house because I don't trust that you're alone. You two think you guys have found love.
No.
It's a trauma bond.
It's a trauma bond.
It's a trauma bond. So sometimes they're not as obvious as that. They're this. And you realize that this person communicates their love like this because they were hurt, and I need my love to be communicated this way because I was mm. hurt, and therefore we come together and think we're perfect for each other.
Mm.
It's a trauma bond. So reassess the nature of your relationships as well, and reassess what would make somebody feel like a soulmate, because sometimes your criteria stems from trauma.
That's crazy. Oh, guys, this is such a self-reflective episode.
I'm telling you.
It's so beautiful.
I'm telling
you. To more episodes like this, to more love letters to ourselves.
Yes.
To more that.
Yes.
Oh, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
I'm an expert in trauma bonding.
Shame, man. Same. I think we all are. I think everybody is trauma bonding nowadays because, like, we jollied too quickly.
Yo.
Like, I'm we went into dating too quickly.
Actually,
I once said on this podcast that the concept of dating is a weapon from the enemy. I believe it till today.
I'm telling you.
I'm a jolla, but I understand it's a weapon from the enemy. That's all I'm saying.
I'm such a jolly guy, guys.
When a courtship, no shot.
When a courtship, no, something like arranged marriage.
That's so real. I would do Love is Blind. I would do, like, if there's an arranged marriage show in South Africa, yeah. I'd sign up.
Yeah.
Sign
What are the chances that you're going to meet your soulmate on a show?
See, we said there's no such thing as soulmate.
If it's not soulmate. You're going to meet your husband on a show.
I may not.
Unless it's international.
Yeah. You don't trust the men from this country no more.
Oh, girl.
They don't love me no more.
Oh, girl. It must be... Love is Blind Africa.
Mm.
And then they put you in a room with somebody from Niger.
From Ghana.
From Uganda.
Oh, I have a thing for Congolese, man.
What?
Yes.
This is news to me.
You didn't know.
I did not know.
Oh, my God.
I know exactly where to take her.
Oh, my God.
I know exactly where to take her. We're going to Acoustics Africa. Acoustics Africa has many Congolese men. We're going to... night in Lagos. Funny enough, night in Lagos has a lot of Congolese people, even though it's like a Afrobeats,
mm-hmm.
Nigerian-centric event. That event has a lot of Congolese men. Then I have quite a few Congolese friends who are always attending weddings, so we will make ourselves plus one at Congolese weddings. So trust me, we won't find you a Congolese man this
Thank
year.
You very much. Thank
no, no,
you
no,
very
we're
much.
Not going to find a man because he who finds a wife...
Finds a good thing.
So we're just going to put ourselves in position.
In that room.
Yes,
in that room.
I mean, we're going to put you.
In the, okay.
In a position to be found.
Yes.
You get it? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm ready to be found.
Pretty good.
Anyways, thank you guys for watching
thank
this episode.
Cool.
Don't forget to subscribe to memberships. By the way, memberships has been, I think we should announce it by now. Right, Tato?
Yes. Yes.
Memberships, guys, so that, okay, actually, guys, let's give more value for less money.
Yes. So memberships are no longer $149.99. Memberships are $39.99. So that is an invitation to all of you guys to come do this.
Come
and as you have seen by now, the snippets from our memberships cohort. Okay, you know that even these positions that we're sitting in right now,
they change.
We are about comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you know, and you guys are gonna see so many things: more vlogs, more BTS,
definitely,
more this and that. And by the way, guys, memberships—you don't just get memberships to just store digest.
Yeah,
you get memberships to
Seated,
so many other platforms on this platform. Yeah. You know, so
please do join memberships, guys. We can't express to you how much if you feel like we're a family here.
Yeah,
over there.
Yeah,
it's a lot more intimate.
You'll definitely want to join memberships in 2025 because we have big things planned.
Yes,
we have huge things planned, and there's certain perks that only members
so we're introducing the first tier will be the R39.99. We'll get to see an extra 20-30 minutes of a conversation that we had here, or a completely different conversation that is, you know, a little bit more PG, more personal, you know what I'm saying, more intimate. That would be the first tier. Then the second, third tier are surprises.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sash, you know what to do. You know what to do, guys. I'm telling you, you're gonna want to be in memberships.
Please.
If you're a Jestie through and through, those of you who put 39, who send us gifts of stickers of 39 rand, this is your opportunity.
This is your chance
to become an actual member.
And members get first preference for video topics that they'd like us to discuss.
Yes, first preference for video topics. I actually want to have even a members group chat. Mm. You know, like a little nice to make it more intimate. You know, this is where we'd be like, hey guys, actually, this is what we're doing. What are your guys' questions? Your questions will come first. You guys our first preference for every little thing.
Everything.
If Thought Digest decides to do a live show, wink, wink. You guys get tickets first. You wink. Might even get tickets at a big discount.
Wink, wink.
So, wink, wink. Yeah. Tata, you listening? Yeah. Thank you very much.
You guys, you want to do the cues?
Subscribe, like, comment, share, turn on post notification bell, and post. What is a self-love emoji?
Oh, what is a self-love emoji?
Post candles, because we're in our essence of like...
Okay.
You light a candle.
I'll take the candle.
Yeah. Not you can't layer yellow shading.
Yeah, not that one. Like, try and find like a scented
something. The emoji.
Okay. Oh, bubbles.
Bubbles, yeah.
Yeah, let's do the external self-love.
Yeah, like emojis,
the bubble bath.
Yeah.
Anyway, we love you guys so much. To our members, see you over on that side. To you guys who are not members yet, we'll see you guys next week, Monday at 3 p.m. Bye.